This is Jay Sekulow doing plans in the United States Senate to get the government open.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Taking your calls, 800-684-3110. We're going to start with a question to our audience. What do you think of the shutdown, and what do you think of solutions to the shutdown? What do you think should happen next? Should the president hold firm? Should they put more issues on the table? We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. But let's go ahead and get updated as to what are now dueling plans being submitted by both the Democrats and the Republicans, separate plans in the United States Senate.
Yeah, that's right. So you've got obviously the plans that are more similar to President Trump's plan, the $5.7 billion to fund a steel barrier system. You'll also have plans put forward that are more try to be bipartisan in nature that may say, oh, we'll come back to that. We will guarantee votes on that, but we're not going to actually fund that. I think the issue now is that, honestly, any reasonable person will look at the actual legislation that's coming together right now and realize this legislation is not getting to the president's desk. Nothing proposed in the Senate right now.
For the Republicans, we're going to get seven Democrats to get it to pass the Senate.
And it's not going
to get... That doesn't get it to the president.
But it's not coming through the House either. So we are starting to see action on Capitol Hill, and we weren't seeing that for the last 30 days. So we're starting to see action and actual attempts at legislation.
Yeah.
But none of this is going to be what is the final legislation. We do know that.
All right. So, Than, what is the latest here on day 33?
Well, first of all, I think that is a positive step that unanimous consent was achieved in the United States Senate to at least take these votes so you can see where United States senators are. Jordan's absolutely correct, though. As written, it doesn't look like either of these proposals will even make it out of the Senate, much less to the president's desk. But, Jay, I think it's important for our listeners to take a look at the two pieces proposed. The president has definitely included priorities the Democrats have asked for. If you look at this resolution that Chuck Schumer's put forward, it is 2.5 weeks of continuing resolution, not a dollar for the president's priority. So you still only have one side actually incorporating input from both sides. The Democrats' response in the United States Senate, Jay, even though there's going to be a vote on it, it's we want everything or we want nothing.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Harry, your assessment here, what you got dueling plans. Neither one of them look like they're going to go through.
I think that's absolutely correct. So as I've suggested before, defending the rule of law requires border security, including a permanent barrier, coupled with a sensible approach to immigration reform.
Do you think
reform
that gets people to the table? They almost have to if it's a comprehensive approach.
Well, one of the things that I was heartened by was an increasing number of news reports suggesting middle-of-the-road Democrats are now prepared to fund the wall, despite the fact that Democratic leaders who've been captured by their left-wing base are prepared to stonewall border security. So I think that's a hopeful development. I don't anticipate a breakthrough in the short run, but there is a way forward through comprehensive immigration reform and border security. We could simply look back at what Chuck Schumer and other Democrats supported in the past. They supported sensible immigration reform, but they're so captivated by their base and by their opposition to President Trump that they've become hysterical.
This Jordan is the Democratic congressman. He is also the chair of the House Agriculture Committee. So he's a committee chairman in the U.S. House. He was installed by Nancy Pelosi. Congressman Colin Peterson, he was on a radio show. Take a listen.
Give Trump the money. You know, and put
how much of the money?
Well, I'd give him the whole thing, you know, that he wants, and put strings on it so that you make sure that he puts the wall where it needs to be.
Listen what he says, by the way. Put the wall where it needs to be. So he's also, not only is he saying to give Trump the money, he's acknowledging that there are areas that there needs to be a wall. This is a chairman of a committee. These chairs were all installed by Nancy Pelosi. That was a Democrat congressman you were just listening to, Colin Peterson. We need to hear more of these congressmen who are not necessarily household name liberal activist types who are Democrats, and it could break this jam or break this wall.
All right. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We want to know what you want the president to do here. Stand firm, negotiate. What do you want?
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
We got dueling bills between the Senate. Neither one of those we think are going to pass. This is involving to reopen the government. Patricia on Facebook asked an interesting question. Why are Democrats completely against any sort of compromise? We were talking about this during a break to our Facebook and Periscope audience. Apparently, they're not so uniformed in their opposition right now. There seems to be a break, two significant breaks, a committee chairman and a little bit from Denny Hoyer. Jordan, let's recap that, and I want to play the Denny Hoyer sound.
Yeah, so first, this is the committee chairman. He is the head of the House Agriculture Committee. Remember, this is a Democrat, would be installed in this position by the leadership. Who is the leader? It's Nancy Pelosi. The chairman, Colin Peterson, a congressman from Minnesota, and the chair of the House Agricultural Committee said this in a radio interview. Take a listen just yesterday.
Give Trump the money, you know, and put
how much of the money?
Well, I'd give him the whole thing, you know, that he wants, and put strings on it so that you make sure that he puts the ball where it needs to be.
All right. So that's coming from Colin Peterson, chairman of a committee. So, Harry, I want to play the Hoyer comment in a moment, but how do you view this? I think we're starting to see this take. It's painstaking, and it's horrible for the 800,000 federal employees not getting paid. But there seems to be some breaks starting to happen here.
I think you're correct. I think some organic opposition
I like that. Yep.
To Nancy Pelosi is rising up within the ranks of Democrats. There are many sensible Democrats in Congress. They've been elected by moderate to independent voters. They recognize that their long-term viability as politicians has to do with their willingness to compromise. So the Democrats have talked about compromise, but the Democratic leaders, including Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, are ideologically committed to opposing anything that President Trump supports. So if President Trump opposed the wall, they would likely be in favor of the wall.
Yeah.
So some of their opposition is idiotic, and it makes little sense. But I think there are an increasing number of sensible Democrats who are willing at least to consider funding the entire wall. I think that's where middle-of-the-road voters are. You couple that with a bipartisan compromise on DACA and deferred action, and I think you would then have a winning formula that would garner the support of a majority of Americans.
I mean, you think so much of this is political. It's like not having the president deliver the State of the Union message in the Capitol. I mean, this political stuff is getting, I mean, all of it's getting out of control. It's not good for the country. But let's go ahead. We're going to take calls, 1-800-684-3110.
Cole is calling from California online. For Cole, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Cole.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Since we all recognize that the Democrats and the left are so opposed to anything that's put forth by the right and the president, don't you think that we would be a good time now for the president to just declare the emergency, which we actually have on the southern border, both humanitarian
I think the president has the constitutional legal authority to issue a national emergency. That is not the preference. The preference still is, Than, to get this thing legislatively moved.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame him if he did decide to do that now. Yeah. But, Jay, I would just tell you that I think his reasoning for continuing to push through the legislature is that he believes this is an emergency that needs a bipartisan buy-in from the Congress. And, look, if you get a bipartisan buy-in, there's an agreement to fund some priorities on both sides. Jay, it's got a lot more staying power. It's not going to be challenged in court. There's not as much delay. And in the future funding installments that are going to be needed, they're going to be a lot easier, too. So, look, we might get to a point where the president has to do that. But I think he is correct that it would be far preferable to do it this way, and that's why I think he's shown the patience thus far.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's exactly right. We're taking more. We want to know your reactions, and I think this is important. We want to know how you view it right now. You, our audience from all over the country, what do you want the president to do, but how do you view the shutdown situation? 1-800-684-3110. We're taking some calls pretty quick here so we can open lines for you. 800-684-3110. Let's grab another
one. Yeah, Justin in Washington State on line two. Justin, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I'd just like to make this short and sweet here. I would just like to say that I think they need to pass this new resolution that the president has put forward. It does more for these people than what Democrats are doing for them. They continue to say they want to help these people, but do nothing. And if they don't want to jump on it, I think the president just needs to have that power to build his wall without their help.
Which means, so you're in favor of a national emergency if necessary?
I fully, because this is getting ridiculous at this point, because a lot of people aren't getting paid, and it just sickens me that they're doing nothing about it but are willing to go on vacations over it.
Yeah. So, Harry, we did a policy broadcast yesterday, which is going to air on our radio broadcast on Saturday, where we really got into this at length, but we've been concerned. We think the president is in a position, which he's already started to offer comprehensive immigration reform. I would do really comprehensive immigration reform. I think the president wants to do comprehensive immigration reform. He's probably the only president that can actually get it done. But I even said yesterday when we were talking about that on the policy broadcast, if he put DACA, the TSA, the folks that have temporary status, and put a permanent work visas, green cards, Social Security numbers for the 12 million or 18 million, whatever that number is, of people that are here undocumented, if they meet the certain background tests. I don't know if the Democrats would come to the table even on that. I don't know how they would not, but I don't think they want to give the president a win, a legacy win, which would be immigration reform.
I think that's precisely correct. So the Democrats often talk a very good game, and here I'm talking about Democratic leaders. Meantime, they are prepared to ignore, for instance, the humanitarian crisis, which is literally on our border. A significant number, for instance, of migrants are sexually assaulted. There are health issues associated with many of the people in the caravan. There's a change in the composition of migrants, an increasing number of unaccompanied minors, along with families. And we have insufficient facilities to deal with them. There's an insufficient number, for instance, of administrative law judges and Border Patrol agents. All of these things could be solved as part of a bipartisan compromise. In addition to which, the Democrats often claim that they're very interested in protecting the status of so-called DACA recipients. But guess what? When presented with an actual proposal, I think at the end of the day, the Democratic leaders are prepared to reject it.
I think you're 100% correct. I hate to say that, and I'm hopeful that we're going to get comprehensive immigration reform, but I think they are digging their heels in, but we'll see. Let's go take another call before the break.
Sure. Kane in Texas on line 4. Kane, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Kane.
Yeah, thanks. I'd like to see President Trump stick to his guns, really stick to what he ran on, his promises to build a wall, stick to what his base is standing behind him with. And then, maybe cap it around 45 days and then announce a national emergency.
Yeah, so you would go another couple of weeks.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, it feels like we're heading towards that.
Yeah, I think
that's
right.
Feels like even with the legislative action that's starting to take place on Capitol Hill, as we all kind of come to an agreement, unless there was some surprise breakthrough, it would have to be shocking.
The Denny Hoyer statement is very interesting.
But a couple weeks is probably right.
But the Hoyer statement, there's number two in the House. Is this was Brett Baer? Yeah, this was Brett Baer on Fox News. I think it's worth listening. It's short. Well, but let's listen to it because I think it's interesting.
For the people who are living in those border states, especially with some barrier that has been constructed, would you remove those existing barriers because you say they don't work?
No.
So they work there. They work some places.
Obviously, they work some places.
All right. I think, again, it's short, but it's showing a crack in the leadership, and now you got a committee chairman. This is hard negotiation. It is the art of the deal. Yep. But things are moving. I mean, there's starting to be some cracks.
Yeah, Jay, I honestly think that an ideological majority of both the House and the Senate favor this plan. I really do. And I think Steny Hoyer's comments show that. But look, they're being held hostage to the political whims of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. I think it's really as simple as that. And look, I would encourage Senate Democrats who do support this plan, instead of just voting against it outright if you think that you have to, how about you offer a counterproposal? If you don't think the DACA extension's long enough, how about you offer an amendment to make it permanent? Or how about you offer an extension to that instead of just voting no? Engage the president, who has clearly put a proposal on the table. It's one that you probably agree with in your core. Don't play political games. Let's get a solution for the American people. Jay, if they do that, I think a deal would be reached.
Yeah, I think so too. All right. Well, let me tell you what we're doing coming up. We're going to take more calls at 1-800-684-3110. Obviously, getting your input on this is very important to us. We want to know what our members think, people that are listening to this broadcast, what your views of this are. So again, call us at 800-684-3110. We do want to give you an update coming up in the next segment, for at least a few minutes of that segment, about a case we have involving a pastor. He's in China. His permanent residency status in the United States. His family's American. He'd been ministering in China for a long, long time. He's in jail. You've heard these cases before. We've had great success, but you know it takes building up a whole machine, really, to start at the UN and into Washington, D.C., and for you to understand the case. We've got an update on that case we want to give you when we come back from the break.
Yep, that's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. A lot of information, too, up at aclj.org. You want to check that out at aclj.org. But as we take in your calls on the border, also important to update you on ACLJ's work all around the world. We'll be doing that when we come back from the break. Important update on a case, Christian persecution out of China affecting a family right here in the United States as their father remains imprisoned in really tough conditions. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're going to go ahead in a moment, and I think this is really important. We're going to get back to the whole issue of the what's happening with the shutdown, government shutdown, and the border security and immigration reform. But we've got to take a moment here because we've got a case we need to talk to you about. And we, as you know, we handle a lot of Christian persecution cases around the globe. We had the great success out of Turkey with Pastor Brunson. I could go back, you know the cases. I mean, you've been Miriam Ibrahim, Asiya Bibi, Saeed Abedini. I mean, I could go through the whole list. Yusuf Nadarkhani, although he's back in jail. So that's another one we're working on. But this is one where we are representing the family. And it's an interesting background, but he's been in jail for 2 years, by the way. Although we have just gotten involved in the case really in the last couple of months. Yes. But Cece, let's first talk about who the pastor is, what the situation is, what has he been, this is again, they get charged with these ridiculous charges for doing, you know, humanitarian work. But let's talk about the case and talk about the situation.
Right. Pastor Saw is a legal permanent, U.S. legal permanent resident. He has been married.
His wife's American.
Yes, Jamie. His wife is American from North Carolina. Both his two sons are American. And he pastored, you know, Christian Chinese churches in the Southeast. Has been here in the United States for 30 years. Has a heart for China and has been doing ministry over there. And mainly for the last several years in Myanmar, which the northern is the southern border of China, the northern part of Myanmar, the impoverished Hwa people, and just was doing great work there, establishing schools, doing that all with the knowledge of the local police there with no problems. And then in March of 2018, that all just changed, or 2017, I think I got that wrong, 2017, he was arrested and he was charged with illegally organizing illegal border crossings, which is trafficking charges.
Yeah.
Not,
and now 12 people were arrested, but only two held, and the two that were held.
Yeah. Now 12 people came across and only two were arrested. Others just got a fine, which is what typically would happen.
Yeah. I mean, they were
charged. Fine.
Yeah.
And the two Christians were arrested and charged.
One of them's out of jail, right?
One of them's out of jail. And Pastor Saw is not. He's
there
for 7 years.
Was the other Christian that was arrested an American?
No.
Right. So are we back to, Jordan, the same thing? It's an American. It's high target. We've got issues with China. I mean, are we back to that same thing?
Well, I think
Or has it even reached the national government? Do we know?
Well, we always know that regionally it's dangerous for Christians. And that's just because the more you get out into the further out from the major cities, the more it's almost the communist ideology, Maoist ideology that starts to dominate. So we know that that's an issue always. We know this is serious charges. I already spent 2 years in prison in China. But I see like the actions China's taking against the Canadians and, you know, changing one of the Canadian individual on a drug charge from a 15-year sentence to a death penalty case because of an arrest made by Canada of one of the government officials, not government officials in China, corporate officials in China that make cell phones and things like that because the U.S. wanted to extradite that woman who was a CEO. And then they changed the sentence from 15 years to death. So, again, you're dealing like we've dealt with in these other countries, not a normal justice system. So where you think things are supposed – you're supposed to have a trial date, and it's not just postponed. It's postponed almost indefinitely,
difficult. Again, this follows a playbook that at the ACLJ we have been dealing with for a decade on these cases, more than that. It's always the same playbook. Hearing was supposed to be today – or in the last couple
22nd,
of days.
Yep, January 22nd.
Yep. And here we are, and it doesn't happen. We've
That's
seen this
correct.
Before.
It's been postponed and really outside the statutory allowance four times. So it was supposed his appeal was supposed to be heard September of 2018. It was postponed to November and then of 2018, then postponed to January of 2019, and now March of 2019. And so that gives us indication that this order is coming from higher up. Because that is not a normal situation.
One of the things we have to do here is we've got to get congressional support. It was barely worked, or that was not the strategy they were really engaging. There was a little bit. But then we've got, we're going to deal with the UN too, but we've got to have American members of Congress speaking out on this.
Yeah, we found time and time again on these cases, Jay, that two things really go hand in hand to fundamentally raise the visibility on these cases. The first is that the American people raise the story, put a face to a name for people around the globe so that the Pastor Saw situation is known. The second, Jay, is that the United States government needs to engage in a very aggressive manner. So next month, in just a few weeks here, Pastor Saw's wife, Jamie, is coming to the Hill for that very purpose. Some of the very same members that have worked on previous cases, we are doing it. The North Carolina delegation, again, Jay, it's an American from North Carolina, of all things. Yep. We already have meetings on both sides of the Hill for that. But those two things, Jay, are people engaging, put a face with the name of this story, and then the U.S. government taking it very seriously, that's what will help bring about a favorable resolution.
Well, I think that the goal here is to, you know, is to get his release. But as I said, he's been in jail for 2 years. So he's been in jail. He's not doing well at all.
His health is failing. He's almost 60 years old. He's in a cell that's 26 by 10 feet. With a dozen other prisoners, they all share a same 26-foot slab as a bed. He's lost 50 pounds. His significant health issues have not been addressed medically. And, you know, he's not allowed to communicate with his wife or his two sons or even his mother or family over there. Only his attorneys. He's only allowed to see the sun one time a month.
The outdoor
sun in the sky one time a month. Hmm.
Tough, tough situation with China. And I know, buckle up your seatbelts, folks. Here we go again. But that's, look, our every time we do these cases, we say, okay, we'll take a breather. And then the next one comes. And I think because of the unique position that we're in at the ACLJ, because of your support of the work of the American Center for Law and Justice and our access to the leaders of the free world, we have to take advantage of that for these individuals that are finding themselves being persecuted for their faith. And we're going to do everything we can. But this case, again, he's been in jail for 2 years. We've literally been involved, what, about 10 weeks, 12 weeks? I mean, maybe not even 3 months. We're just getting involved now. So it's Pastor Saw. If you see the email, like if you get our emails, it's in there today, and it says we're working to free Pastor John Saw, but it's spelled C-A-O. So I want you to know that that's the same case. We're going to get our video team is going to start putting together some packages on this, so you'll get familiar with it. So we'll get that. All right. When we come back from the break, here's what we're going to do. We got a lot of calls coming in. We want your calls because we want to get into what you want to see happen on the shutdown, on border security, on immigration reform. We've got two lines open at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to ask this to our panel that's involved in this case, and that is what they think is going to happen. I'll go at the end. Jordan, what do you think is going to happen here politically?
I think, again, we're still looking at significant time before this shutdown is resolved. And politically, I think it keeps turning. And right now, you have enough Democrats. I think with the way that the president laid out what he'd be willing to compromise on,
yep.
And that's basically everything Democrats have been asking for, and they will not budge. So it shifts back to pressure on them, where there was pressure on him for a little bit.
Yep.
Now the pressure is back on Democrats. So the political football is going back and forth on kind of who's responsible. And ultimately, I think at this point, the president, like a lot of the callers have said, and we'll continue to take those the second half hour, has been willing to stick with it. I mean, it's been a month. Yeah,
Harry, quickly.
Well, I think some cracks are emerging within the Democratic Congress, which will put pressure on the Democratic leaders to compromise.
Ben?
I think both measures will fail tomorrow, Jay, but I think it will highlight that only one of the offers was actually a compromise proposal, and I think that pressure on Nancy Pelosi is going to escalate as a result.
All right. I'll give you mine when we come back from the break. How about that? All right, that's going to do it for the first half of the broadcast. Don't forget, Pastor Saw, get the email alerts from the ACLJ, and pray for Cece Howell and her team as we now build the support for this new case on Christian persecution. Back with your calls at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Completing competing plans in the United States Senate on breaking the shutdown. Fan, can you give us a quick thumbnail of what they are? Neither one of which are going to pass.
Yeah, sure. The one that's put forward by Leader McConnell essentially echoes President Trump's plan, which is $5.7 billion for border security, including the wall, and then some concessions to Democrats, namely a three-year extension of the DACA program, participants in the DACA program, and also an extension of the TPS recipients. These are individuals who are here and are deemed it's not safe to return to their country of origin. So further protections for them, two priorities from the Democrat side of the aisle. There are other things as well, Jay, humanitarian assistance, and other things. But it is definitely a compromise proposal put forward by Donald Trump. Leader McConnell will put that on the floor. Jay, the other one that's going to be put forward by Democrat leadership, that is just a 2.5 week straight extension of the government, not a single dime for new wall funding. So essentially, not a compromise proposal. It's just what they offered in the very beginning.
All right, let's go ahead. We're going to take a couple of calls here if we can, the first segment of the broadcast, so we can free some lines up. Who do we have first?
Yeah, let's go right to the phones. Let's go to Wendy in Ohio on line six. Wendy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First of all, I just want to say that I think we as Americans who listen to your show and are just aware of what's going on are thankful for what you do, because
thanks.
What you're doing matters. That's
Thank
what
you.
I want to say first.
Appreciate that.
Yes, you guys are amazing. Anyway, second point is I believe many in the middle and the American community desire to have that wall built.
Yep.
And if the president has to declare a state of emergency, I know that we're behind him, and I feel many others would be. You know, people don't really ask the people in the middle. We only hear about the two extreme sides. But I know that there are a lot of people that support what he's doing and has been doing and his team and pray for him regularly.
You know, Wendy, it's an interesting thing you raise, because I think the American people, including in the middle, also support border security, but also support comprehensive immigration reform. That is the sense I get. Now, there's going to be different ways of getting there. Some like pathway to citizenship, some don't. Some think that should be a more of a work permit, social security number, work permit, paying taxes. I made this statement yesterday. Getting people out of the shadows, I think, is important. And somebody put up on their comments, well, Jay, you don't understand. They don't want to get out of these. The people that are here illegally don't want to get out of the shadows because they don't want to pay taxes. And my response to that is, hey, what I'm saying is it's no choice. You get out of the shadows because you're going to pay taxes, just like every other citizen in the United States or people that work in the United States. So I think that's part of getting people inculcated into American values. But I do think there's bipartisan support for border security and comprehensive immigration reform, and the president has said as much.
There is, and the issue lies with the far left, which is now in control of the Democrat Party. And that Nancy Pelosi, who has been in Congress long before the far left made this rise, has kowtowed to them. That's how she got her leadership position.
You think they're stopping the progress? Any
yes.
chance of negotiating?
Yeah.
And what are they holding out for? What's their point of the progressive left, the hard left here? What is the point?
Ultimately, they believe that the blame goes on the president, that it hurts him in 2020, that you know all these upset federal workers are mobilized to go even further left.
So that's what they're thinking.
And so they think that they are taking the country further to the left, that ultimately they will elect someone who says, we're going to go in and protect more government workers. We're going to protect the federal bureaucracy. We're going to go in and do all more government to
so
save
Dan, what's your view of what Jordan's saying there? I mean, is it you share the same sentiment?
Yeah. I do. There's a rift in the Democratic caucus, Jay. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is catering to the left in California that she can't negotiate. But, Jay, this is why Colin Peterson and Steny Hoyer are breaking ranks to some extent, because it's still about politics for them. But in their states, Jay, they actually need to come up with a compromise that'll cater to people like the caller we just had. Those callers want a deal to be reached. Colin Peterson and Steny Hoyer know it. And their political futures, Jay, they depend on them actually working with the president.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Harry, quickly, breaking the ranks significant here?
I think it is. I think most Democrats agree with the caller if they took, for instance, a lie detector test, but they're unwilling to go public with that for ideological reasons and also because they wish to continue to blame President Trump for the impasse.
All right. We'll take your calls when we come back from break. 1-800-684-3110. We got a special video coming on, so Facebook and Periscope, share it with your friends. And again, support the work of the ACLJ. Best way to do that, ACLJ.org.
Oh.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
We just got this, so it's breaking news. The president has just sent a letter to Nancy Pelosi. Let me read it. Dear Madam Speaker, thank you for your letter of January 3rd, 2019, sent to me long after the shutdown began, inviting me to address the nation on January 29th as to the State of the Union. As you know, I'd already accepted your kind invitation. However, I then received another letter from you dated January 16th, 2019, wherein you expressed concerns regarding security during the State of the Union address due to the shutdown. Even prior to asking, I was contacted by the Department of Homeland Security and the United States Secret Service to explain that there would be absolutely no problem regarding security with respect to the event. They have since confirmed this publicly. Accordingly, there are no security concerns regarding the State of the Union address. Therefore, I will be honoring your invitation and fulfilling my constitutional duty to deliver important information to the people in Congress of the United States of America regarding the State of the Union. I look forward to seeing you on the evening of January 29th in the chamber of the House of Representatives. It would be so very sad for our country if the State of the Union were not delivered on time, on schedule, and very importantly, on location, exclamation point, sincerely, Donald J. Trump, president. A pretty bold move, I think, Jordan.
Yeah, I think it is bold. There's already talk that they would just not have a confrontation and maybe go someplace else to do it. But here the president's calling
says
out
the location.
Nancy Pelosi, says to have, said the House of Representatives go about it in normal fashion, points out that she sent a letter on January 3rd, which was the normal invitation that goes out for the State of the Union. And then for political purposes, 2 weeks later, obvious political purposes, because we know that it has nothing to do with security. DHS, Secret Service have said no. Yep. And in fact, Nancy Pelosi's office did not contact the Department of Homeland Security or Secret Service before asserting that there was a security risk at play. So it was pure politics. The president's, I think, putting it right back into Nancy Pelosi's decision-making. She's looked fairly foolish these last couple of weeks.
Yep.
The incident with their trip, their excursion, and trying to run out of town in Washington, D.C. Like, traveling the world right now is a great idea when our government's not even functioning.
Right. So that tells
you
that.
And she's the Speaker of the House.
So that's breaking news. But we're going to go right back to the phones because we got a lot of calls coming, and let's go right back to them.
Yeah, people have been holding on. Let's go to Ruth in Oregon on line one. Ruth, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Ruth.
Hello. Just want to thank you, first of all, for this great program. I listen to it pretty much every day. I guess where I'm at with this whole piece, I definitely think we should stand with Trump. But, I mean, we're hurting the middleman by not paying them. Why not just cut the funds off to the state and Senate? the Senate and the House and say, okay, hey, great, you guys are willing.
So you want to cut funding off to the House and Senate? Well, that would be they're in charge of appropriations, actually, Harry. So I don't think the president has that kind of authority. Can't starve out the Congress, I don't think.
Unfortunately not. I would love
I don't know. Separation of power is probably a good
idea. I would love to cut funding to the House and Senate, and I'd love to hand that power to the American people, but it's very, very unlikely.
Yeah.
So many of these individuals are going to continue to live middle to upper middle class lifestyles while complaining about the fact that other government workers are not being paid. So, the hypocrisy lives deeply within them.
Yes. So, Fan, the president doesn't have the constitutional authority to stop funding the House and Senate.
It probably won't surprise anybody who's listening, Jay, that Congress found a way to negotiate and compromise and pay themselves earlier this year. They sent a bill to the president and he signed it to make sure that they were paid in the event of a government shutdown. So, won't shock anybody that they thought of that first.
I mean, I guess technically, if you were arguing it technically, I don't want to processes too much. I guess the president doesn't assign, if he doesn't sign the appropriations bill, but that would be effectively a veto, and then they would override it. So because it'd be like a pocket. Yeah. You know what? Let's not even go there. Interesting question. Let's take another one.
Yeah. Back to the phones. We go. John in Wyoming online 3. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, John.
Hey, good day to you guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, as Joe Public, and I know elections have consequences, but there are times when dealing with Republicans and Democrats, it's almost hopeless, it seems.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel like you have no power to do anything.
But I don't think I think hopelessness is not where we should be, because this is negotiating. It's hard. It's politics. But you got to understand something. You had Denny Hoare saying, oh, yeah, the wall in certain locations, we're not going to take it down. It should be there. And then you've got a chairman of a committee saying, fund the wall, get the government open. So, Harry, those are the kind of cracks you start looking for when you're in difficult negotiations. This is a very difficult negotiation.
You're precisely correct. I think the American people should not give up hope, and they should actually be quite hopeful, given the cracks that are arising within Democratic ranks. And so I think the American people need to continue to place pressure on middle-of-the-road Democrats to come up with a bipartisan solution to this issue. And ultimately, that will place pressure on the leadership. So some freshman congressmen have sent a letter to Nancy Pelosi suggesting that they would like to vote on the president's proposal. I think that is a helpful and hopeful development. So I would encourage our listeners not to give up hope.
What do you think, Jordan?
Yeah, I think ultimately, all of it put together, we could see some kind of compromise where it's not, I don't think it's the president compromising that much. It's putting forward ideas that both Republicans and Democrats want, combined with border security and specifically the wall. And if he's willing to go the distance on this, and he's already shown that, most presidents would have already cracked. Let's be honest. They would have cracked. A Republican or Democrat would have cracked a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. They would be scared of this idea of longest shutdown or month-long shutdown. But the Democrats let this get to a point where this has become kind of normal operating practice. And I think that's a danger zone for the left, is that when it gets too easy to be in the shutdown mode, you start questioning the worthiness of many of these federal agencies and the services that they're supposed to be providing to the American people. Not the people's own jobs, but the size that we let these bureaucracies get to. And when you're talking about, they keep talking about this 800,000.
Yep.
Really, the only complaint that comes out is the airport security, which is a lot, really the rules that they put in place for airport security that make it, you need more people. And I think that's the big deal. I mean, that's the big deal. Could you see a restructuring of government ultimately that comes from this?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take another phone call here at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Lenny in Maine on line 5. Lenny, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Lenny.
Hi. Thank you so much for all you and your team
do. Thank you.
It's quite amazing. First of all, I wanted to say I appreciated Trump's letter to Nancy Pelosi.
Yep.
I thought that was great. So I hope that is effective. But I am totally with him on this shutdown. I agreed with the last fellow who spoke and said it's kind of proving that all this government isn't even necessary, but they're not going to focus on that. Yep. But I just feel like I'd like to ask these Congress people, what if it was your child that was killed by one of these illegal immigrants? How would that come across to you? Would you change your mind? But that, I mean,
I think here's the thing. The truth of the matter is, I think most Americans are in favor of border security and immigration reform, but you got to know who's in the United States. And that's why I think that the 12 million or 18 million people here, you're not going to ship them back, but you need to find out who they are. You need to run the background checks. You need to have a system in place. There needs to be a process in place to get them inculcated into the American system, but you have to know who they are. But does anybody not support border security except some of these really far left progressives that are running on, you know, open borders, which no country in the world does?
Very, very few, Jay, and I would say even very few in Congress. I mean, the evidence of that, well, Jordan alluded to this a second ago, but the president's proposal puts forward things on both sides that both Republicans and Democrats have voted for. I mean, this type of border security, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, go down the line. They have voted for this type of thing before, Jay. And on the other side of it, the DACA extensions and the TPS extensions, those are things that a lot of Republicans have voted for. So I think Jordan's right. It's not really fair to call it a compromise. It's more of a unity resolution. The American people agree with it, and I think the Congress agrees with it, too. Jay, people in Maryland, people in Minnesota, they also support it, which is why you see Colin Peterson and Steny Hoyer starting to move that way.
That's a big deal. That little bit of crack today is significant. Let's grab one more call before the break.
Sure. We'll go to Sean in North Carolina on line four. Sean, welcome to JSEC.
Go ahead, Sean, quickly, please.
Good afternoon. Thank you, and I appreciate what you do.
Thanks.
I wanted to say two things. Number one, I give to two entities, my church and the ACLJ, because the only way to defeat these characters is through the courts. We know this. The second thing is we need to start a new campaign. President Trump needs to get behind. I know you have his ear. Tell him to start a campaign, Make America Safe Again, because we do not know what nor who is coming across the southern border. We need to secure it.
I mean, listen, Make America Safe Again is right. I mean, I think we that's why this whole border security, immigration reform needs to be one package, because this will solve the who's here, and it will solve Harry, and you only got it for a couple seconds here. It'll also give us some sense of security.
Absolutely. Anecdotal evidence from the Department of Homeland Security suggests that terrorists are part and parcel of these caravans. Yeah. And so that's an important issue. The caller, I think, is absolutely correct.
Another caravan coming up from Honduras, I guess. It's on its way. See what happens on that. And we're going to play a little music during the break here on Facebook and Periscope, so share it with your friends, a little JSEC, a little band action. We're going to be, by the way, in Midland, Texas next Tuesday at a great venue. I'll give you the details of that when we come back from the break. I think it's Wagner Noel is the center, but I'll give you some information on how you can get some tickets. Back with more in a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the Medical Board in Ohio. America law banned any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
Now, if you were listening on Facebook, you got to hear a little bit of the Jay Sekulow Band's rendition of the famous Cream tune, Crossroads. The band, on January 29th, next Tuesday, at 7 p.m., the whole group, all eight of us, are going down to Midland, Texas, to the Wagner Noel venue, which is a beautiful theater, and we're going to be playing. So if you want to get tickets and meet us and see us and listen to the, we're going to perform and we're going to talk, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great evening. Go to Wagner, Wagner, it's WAGERNOEL.com. I think it's Wagner. Yeah, there's an N missing there. It's Wagner Noel. That's WAGNER. Noel is NOEL.com. Maybe we can put a link up there in Facebook. .com. Midland, Texas Performing Arts Center, and we're going to be there next Tuesday at 7 p.m. If you're in Texas, come on down or come on down or over or around Midland and join us again at the Wagner Noel venue, and it's at WagnerNoel.com is where you can get tickets, and we look forward to being with everybody. All right, let's go ahead, and this is the last segment, so let's take some calls.
Yeah, Jason calling from Ohio on line 6. Jason, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Jay. Thank you. Hey, sure. Love the Christmas song, Jerusalem, from the band.
Appreciate it.
But anyways, I love my present, and I love the wall idea, but it's not, seems only like it's working through Congress. But anyways, can't the President of the United States make a regulation against people that are being hired for the immigration? It would stop them from wanting to come over here also.
No, but, I mean really, you can't, you can go ahead, Jordan. You can't.
First of all, it's illegal to do that. Yeah, so, I mean, there are laws in place. You're talking about more enforcement measures like E-Verify, making that mandatory instead of – but again, this is the job of Congress. The executive is to execute the laws, to see that the laws are faithfully executed, not to write the laws.
Right.
And I think you're asking the president to stretch his executive authority way too far to start writing employment laws in the United States.
All right. So another congressman, another Democratic congressman from New York, Antonio Delgado – asked this question at a constituent town hall yesterday or 2 days ago. So this is, we're playing these for you, folks, because I like to play the evidence of what's going on here. Listen very carefully.
There is common ground. I don't think there's much disagreement on the fact that we do have to figure out how to secure our borders and that we do have to figure out how to course correct our immigration system. It is flawed. It is broken. We do need to figure out in concrete ways how to solve the problem and do so in a collaborative and cooperative fashion. Absolutely.
So, Harry, this is, again, and these are not big numbers yet, but these are congressmen starting to fold out and make statements that are at least acknowledging the common ground of border security and immigration reform.
I think these statements are absolutely significant. First, it takes courage to publicly support a policy that is not supported by the leadership, particularly in the House. And so a number of courageous Democrats are supportive of some type of comprehensive immigration reform that definitely and unmistakably includes border security. So again, I commend the congressman. I commend the congressman from Minnesota as well, and Steny Hoyer. And there's a letter from Representative Elaine Luria suggesting that Nancy Pelosi ought to allow Democrats to vote on the president's proposal. Those are helpful developments, and I hope this becomes a cascade that places pressure on Nancy Pelosi.
So Than, this was another one we played. Again, I just think these are little cracks in the wall, their wall, so to speak. What's your sense?
Well, I agree with Harry that it's worth commendation, but I would go a little bit further than that, Jay. Each of those members who have made statements have a right to go down to the floor of their respective chamber and offer a proposal. I would suggest that tomorrow, when this is debated in the United States Senate, if Joe Manchin or Doug Jones or anyone else feels similar, they should actually go down to the floor and do the job that their constituents elected them to do and offer a compromise proposal. These are strides in the right direction, Jay, but until they stop just speaking, it's just a political move. They need to go down, do their job, and offer a proposal to be voted on.
All right. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. I mean, that is the idea, obviously, is that the Congress will legislate and get legislation to the president's desk, even when you have a divided Congress. But so far, no action there. Tom in New York online, too. Tom, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Tom.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Longtime supporter.
Thanks.
I am a supporter of the president. I voted for the president. I believe he is a godly man, and I have an interesting comment and thought. I am for the wall, and it's apparent that it's not going anywhere right now with the Democrats, who are not negotiating in good faith. And the news media is biased against the president, so it's pointing the finger at the president that he's the one that's keeping 800,000 workers out of work. My thought is to put on the table a DACA plan and say, I'll withdraw my wall plan right now, and I'm going to put a DACA plan on the table that I want the Democrats to agree to. If they agree to it, I'll open the government.
Well, they would agree to that because you're getting nothing. The problem is there. I appreciate your call. You're getting nothing in exchange. I think this has, if you're going to do DACA and the TSA, and then you're going to do something with the people that are here without documentation, let's do it comprehensively, including the full funding of the border wall, Harry, the $25 billion.
Absolutely. So I think
I disagree
with the caller, because that would remove the president's negotiating leverage, and the Democrats would accept it, and they would never be prepared to fund the wall. And I think then Trump would get all of the blame. We shut down the government. He did not achieve anything. So I don't agree with the caller.
Yep.
All right, I think we can get to these last two calls of the day. Let's go to Patty in Nevada, first on line three. Patty, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for accepting my call. My thing is, I go along with the wall. We need the wall. We just had a 19-year-old that killed two people here in Nevada, and he was illegal. 19-year-old that had been here for a year. We need the wall.
Yeah, up to four people he's now been linked to, an illegal immigrant in Nevada. It's serious for people who are living on the border who are dealing with very violent crime and strings of murders tied to illegal immigration. Michael, final call of the day in California, online one. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for taking my call. Yep. I live in Southern California. I'm Mexican-American. I'm for President Trump, and I'm for the wall.
Yep.
My question is, in talking to people that oppose the wall, they say that the wall is a waste of money because most of the trafficking and the drugs and all those other things that happen come through the regular points of entry or through cargo ships or through airplanes. So we'd be focusing our money on the wrong places.
I think the statistics are not bearing that out. Go ahead, Than. There's a problem on the southern border. The human trafficking comes in. They all ignore human trafficking.
You're going to catch more drugs and more trafficking on the places that you actually have secured. Of course,
right.
That's always going to be the case.
Yes, because you've got more security there. But there's no question that human trafficking also comes in through there.
Yes, it's a very serious problem. And I think, again, the left doesn't actually want to deal with the problem. This is all about politics right now. Or else we'd have a fairly functioning government right now, even with the
divide. Which we don't. No. All right, that does it for the broadcast today. If you're in Medlin, Odessa, come hear our band next Tuesday night at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Go to wagnernoel.com for tickets. Talk to you soon.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. can add your name online, aclj.org.